Blog Talk Radio.
This is Yasa Sagonige, a seventh great grandson of Sawanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous, plant-based, native sacraments. Aho. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Atawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. In 1806, Cedric Redfeather's great-grandfather, Shalaka, Big White Wolf, traveled to Washington, D.C. with Lewis and Clark to meet with President Thomas Jefferson. "That was a good thing that Lewis and Clark chose the Mandan," said Redfeather. "We are a peaceful people who don't distinguish between Indian and white man. The Mandan is colorblind. We believe that underneath we're all the same, we're all spirit." Perhaps this explains why the long-suffering Mandan people still survive as a nation, despite suffering near eradication by smallpox, loss of their lands, and attempts to strip them of their culture. Redfeather, it is said, was one of the seven brothers and one sister whose birth fulfilled a Mandan prophecy and spiritually would return to the tribe. Ladies and gentlemen, introducing Grandfather Cedric Redfeather. How are you, Grandfather? Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me all right?
Okay. How are you?
Fine.
Everybody, this is Bluewater. We're with you with... we also have Badger with us tonight. And... oh, yeah, I had to get the animal spirit going. Badger is going to be doing a Mayan birthday reading for Cedric, and we're so happy to have him. I think we also have another caller on the line calling from area code 507. Who is that? Hello, caller, area code 507.
You know what I mean?
I guess she can. I think that's Cedric's daughter, Janet. I think Janet Michelle. Anyway, yeah, her mic is off for right now. But let's. Before the show, Cedric gave Badger his information, and why don't we start? Why don't we do a warm up with that, and then we'll get things rolling with the Grandfather Cedric.
Okay.
Go ahead, Mark.
So, in the traditional Mayan day count in Azulcan, Grandfather was born on a day called 13 Lamat, and this is the final day of the Sib or the Condor Vulture cycle. It ends it, and it, the meaning of this, the 13 and the Lama, each of those two things has a meaning. The number 13 connects with things like the pyramid, the realization of things, especially transmutation of things from the base of the pyramid all the way up to the capstone of the pyramid. That's the 13 number significance. The Lamat glyph is about planting things, seeds. It's also sometimes called the morning star glyph. And so it, these numbers that he has, 13, and Lama is the eighth glyph. And these numbers are also associated with the relationship between the planet Earth and Venus, which are in a perfect golden ratio relationship. And those particular numbers drive those orbits and the relationship between the two planets. The morning or dawn star symbol and these numbers also relate to the one they called the Lord of the Wind and the Water. So I would suspect that Granthar may have a connection in with that as well. And some of them called, Lord of Wind and Water. Some said Quetzalcoatl, Tacoma, many other names. Many of those names would relate to wind, water, and also the morning star or the dawn star of Venus. So I would, it looks like his birth has an awful lot of that type of energy to it. A lot of things about just doing things the right way, loving one another, how everything is connected, how family and the unity of things, of all things. A lot of things, especially strong in terms of the condor energy. This is the energy that's a little bit more related to the south. So I would not be surprised if he would be a good emissary or go-between between the north and the south in terms of the native tribes, the ones in South America and even parts of Central America possibly. So that that seems to be there. So I would say that probably thing, for him, looking at things, especially with the planet Venus and associated with it and the Peacekeeper or the Lord of the Wind and the Water, probably pretty strong things for him. Now I'm going to switch gears a little bit and go to looking at kind of a forward, a backward flow of time, and then where these two flows of time come together. And so on the forward flow of time, we see energy that's a red energy. It has to do with a serpent energy. It's about surviving instinct, sacred power of things, dealing with dimensionality and form, things moving between dimensionality and forming things, and also how those things connect into prophecy. There's aspects here about dreaming, caves, things like of that nature. He probably does pretty good in things like sweat lodges or kivas or anything like that, where it's, kind of a cave. May have liked these types of places since he was a child. Probably has been around and learning about things that have to do with creation and sacred power and ceremonial things in terms of how creation is formed and how it works for a long time. A lot of the serpent or snake energy here, power, that's on the forward flow of time, what we consider, how we normally think of time. On time going the other direction, on the backward flow, it's connecting into the number 13 again. But it's also connecting into storm energy, the Kuak glyph in the Mayan terms, and that particular glyph is also often referred to, especially I know in the Cherokee usage of the Mayan Zolcan calendar, is also called turtle, connecting into grandfather's position as a turtle priest.
Yeah, sure and does.
This one is talking about, and this is energy the turtle energy and the storm energy in the Lakotas, the Wiccan, the thunder beings. This type of energy, working with this turtle energy, maybe have shown up more and getting a little bit stronger in his life, you know, from around the year 1997, 98, maybe even a little bit before that until now, maybe getting stronger. And that is going through things like the catalyzation of things, molding things, things that are good, resurrection of things, family again is coming up, the presence, how to be present in the moment. And things here about the illusion of reality, the Maya, as the, in India and stuff say, supernatural powers and ancestors is coming up here too as well. So the family is the family of any ancestors from now, from the past to now, and also into the future. A lot of this energy of this turtle or storm energy, also a lightning symbol would be seen, is related around purification. Now, this is interesting because that's one of the things that the Hopi talk about coming up as we move from one world to the next is the purification day. So I would say that his efforts here in terms of the family and goodness and all these things and the ancestors and stuff may have an overall purpose into moving into that purification process, the shedding off all the junk that we've accumulated over the years in all the cultures and stuff, getting rid of the garbage, you know, between us and our relationships. It sounds like from a little bit that I've heard about him that his particular tribe itself may also be very good at that type of thing. So it would fit in with that. Now, where these two come together, they form a third thing, and this is kind of the bridge or the zero point or the unity point of these two time flows, the backwards flow of time with the storm and the turtle energy and the forward time flow with the red serpent energy. So on the storm energy is kind of black, so we have red and black here, two very interesting colors. The red in the Mayan sense would be in the east, and the black would be in the west. So we have the east and the west going on here too. With his one with the west, with the turtle or storm energy of Kuok, is more future-oriented. So things in the direction of the west is probably going to be showing up for him more and more. Now where these two time flows come together, the red and the black symbols, it is creating another symbol, which is Khan. And in the Mayan glyph, it looks like a seed being planted in the ground. Many times they say it's a corn seed. And it's a yellow color, so in the Mayan medicine wheel, it would be in the south. And it's about, so this is where these two other things are coming together and they're balancing. So it represents or symbolizes for him the movement between world cycles, like walking across the bridge or opening up a doorway and moving between them. So these are the things that helps him get from point A to point B or moving through that door or through those time cycles. These are the energies to be aware of. And it's about focusing. It's a focus, awareness, flourishing things, great prosperity for all. A lot here about power of love, not just any old thing, but it eternal. So that's going to connect back to the teachings of the Lord and the Wind, the Water, the Peacemaker, Quetzalcoatl, and all the other names that he had, Tacoma and all the other names, that particular energy. It's going, and he has some energy here showing up of the sun, too, as well. And the aspect of art and artisticness combined with the mystical or supernatural powers probably connecting into the ancestors is coming up here, too, as an overriding energy. A lot here about equalization of things. Things kind of moving, going in balance, and equalizing. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. And then, so,
Well,
that would fit in with the aspect of, and also this, the number of this is, or one other thing that's coming to me right now on this is, that particular number as these two time flows come together in the unity is an interesting number because it's a number that's 136 is associated with the frequency of Om, O-M, in the Asian and Tibetan and all that. That's Om is like a fundamental sound. And a lot of people say it's at like 136.1 hertz. So this that may be a connection as well.
Is that the Schumann frequency? Or?
No, it's the frequency of Om, O-M.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So that's that.
Well, it's interesting.
Now that also, one other thing that's coming up here a lot in both the forward flow and that serpent and then the con energy and the corn seed, both of those are also going to go back and swing around and connect into the star system of the Pleiades. In the Mayan tradition, the Pleiades, one of the names for them is Motz, M-O-T-Z, which means handful of seeds or like handful of corn seeds, and that's one of their names for the star system of the Pleiades. So corn in the Pleiades is sort of interconnected in the Mayan sense. Also, they have another name for the Pleiades, Zab, which means the rattlesnake's tail. So the serpent or snake energy that you had shown before would connect into that. In the Lakota sense, when they do their white buffalo star constellation, has the Pleiades in the head of the buffalo, then Orion as the backbone or heart of the buffalo, and then the star Sirius would be the tail of the buffalo. So this would connect to your birth and have your energy connected into that kind of the head of that buffalo or a buffalo skull, which could be interpreted as symbolizing the Pleiades as well. So that's coming up. A lot here, though, on a lot of movement on your part into terms of I'd say one big characteristic of all these powers and stuff of your ancestors and sacred powers and dreams and different things is you probably have had a very strong desire since probably back as far as you can remember to unite things, to pull things together, to create a oneness. What's the Lakota, Omatakiasin, and the Mayan is Inlakesh. Namaste or whatever, all kinds of different words we have on the planet, which means a unity, a unification of things. And I would say that's probably been a pretty big part of your life, well, maybe back as far as you can remember, to do that. Okay.
So good. I like this. How interesting. Yes.
You there, Otter?
Yeah, I'm here. Tell us about your book and your story, your life, grandfather.
All right. I'm a man dad, and in my tribe, I'm called a Niwetawakikina, which means I'm a turtle priest. And all the turtle priest did is because when the prophet Namakmaha was with the people centuries ago, they asked Namakmaha, they said, what clan do you belong to? There were 12 clans at that time. And he said, my clan is different. He said, all the clans go through the mother's side. He said, my clan goes through the father's side. He said, when the youngest son reaches adulthood, he will become a Wakikina. And as long as you have Wakikina, you'll always be a nation. Every Wakikina can trace down their father's lineage all the way back. My father was Victor Mandan, his father Arthur Mandan, his father Running Face, his father Red Buffalo Cow, his father Standing Thunder and Roaring. And they were all Wakikina. That's how I began with Turtle Priest. Now, I didn't strive to be one or wanted to be one. It was really difficult for me to accept this responsibility. But when I finally did accept it and started doing the work, so many amazing things have happened. We did the Okipa ceremony in the year 2011. Last year, we did the Canopy of Stars. And this year, we're going to do the Ghost Dance. And in next spring, we'll be going to Machu Picchu in Brazil. And so some of your readings were really good. When you said the number 13, there was 13 clans, and the 13th clan was the Turtle Priest. When you talked about the Eagle and the Condor, I'm going to be a part of the prophecies of the Eagle Condor prophecies when we go down there. Also, I've been told by spirits that we will find something on Machu Picchu that the scientists and archaeologists have not found yet. When we do the Canopy of Stars here in Minnesota at Lake George, there was a blue crystal at the center of the lake, never been touched by human beings. My friend Robert Baca, who's from Des Moines, is a psychic medium, and he told me about the blue crystal, the blue star in the lake. And then my friend Sherman and his wife Soraya, they were both here at the lake. And Soraya is also a psychic medium. And Soraya, she sent her guide down there, and his name was Chorjan. He came back, and he said, there's three little mounds, he said, and the stone is sitting on the center mound. Well, Sherman said, where? In which direction? Well, those buoys, there were buoys where people swim, and one of those buoys was moving back and forth, and there was no wind. The water was still. I said, Sherman, look at that buoy. Sure enough, the wind was moving back and forth. And Soraya said to Sherman, she said, the spirit wants you to look in that direction. That's why he's moving that buoy around. And it was really amazing. Sherman was just so amazed. Well, we did that ceremony called Canopy of Stars. We connected the stars, the magnetic grip, the water, the people, the animals, and the trees, and we connected them all together. So that was a part of a prophecy to fulfill. So that's what I do. My guide, when you translate his name, it means knowledge of all things. And he's the one who told me, he said, never look at a person's skin color. He said, only look at their heart. And since I've been doing my ceremonies, I've incorporated white, black, brown, yellow, and red, all five races of mankind. I've incorporated men and women. We did the Okipa ceremony. The oldest guy was 74. The youngest person was only 5 years old. And it was really a great... The word Okipa means the look-alike. How we looked in the beginning of time, which in the beginning of time, we were all spiritual. That was the meaning of the whole ceremony we did. So that's what I do. I fulfill the prophecies. I wrote a book called Mandan Dreams, published by Galdi Press. And also, there's another book out by Elizabeth Ken. It is called Encounters at the Heart of the World, A History of the Mandan People, which is a new book. It's only been out a couple of months. So it's really a great book. Elizabeth Ken's book. She's a professor at the University of Colorado. And if you have any other questions about what you want to ask me, am I there?
Yes, maybe you can tell us a little bit more about your trip to Machu Picchu.
Well, that's the plan to have. That's going to be in the spring. The reason it's going to be in the spring is we've been told that in the summertime, there's like 2,500 people a day. And so we plan to go in May, next spring, because we want to avoid the tourist people. And I have a friend who's going to introduce me to certain individuals who are shamans and spiritual people there. So our journey is not a tourist journey, it's more of a spiritual journey. And the trip to Brazil, my friend Wellington, he's going to introduce who is from Brazil, by the way. Wellington is going to introduce me to his family and to also to spiritual people in Brazil, and take me to the places I'm supposed to go, he said. So yes, I'm really looking forward to that, too. The other thing about who and what I do is I was driving down to Des Moines a couple of weeks ago to the metaphysical fair in Des Moines, and I got stuck in traffic. There's always construction up here in Minnesota and Iowa in the summertime, and I was getting impatient, and there was a slow truck ahead of me and slow people driving in the fast lane, and I was talking on the phone to Janet, and I said to Janet, I said, look at these slow people. Slow people driving in a fast lane, slow truck. And I said, it's just like my spiritual journey, I said. It's like my road of life. My spiritual journey is always under construction. So I just said it like that and blurted it out. Yeah, I learn all the time from many people. And I don't do this alone. I do my ceremonies, and all my ceremonies have been invitation only. I don't have public events for anybody because I don't want to attract people who are not of one heart and one mind. I'm not a judge by no means, but I just, from experience, we don't want people coming and telling us what to do. It's really interesting because I had a good friend by the name of Godwin. He passed away a year and a half ago. And he used to write a column for a Fate magazine, which was published by Quality Press. And his article was called Amazing Godwin. Well, he's been channeled by local mediums. And some of his messages were that Godwin said, they asked him on the other side, and he said, they only asked me three questions. He said, was I connected? Did I love well? And was I generous, you know? And he said, I must have passed because I'm still here. And, you know, it seems to be where not all the other people went, but pretty happy where he's at. And I was thinking about that because being connected, we are all connected to all people. And plants and sky and tree and water and animals, birds, it is true. We are connected to all of them, and to realize that. And being able to let go, we have to let go of many things. We have to let go of the basic stuff, of course, you know, hatred, jealousy, prejudice, let go of that, but also let go of false stuff in the sense of people have these great dreams. They're going to live in a house with a picket fence happily ever after. Those kind of dreams, people can be really able to think that of the spiritual that happens all the time. Another thing I was going to mention today was June 25th. June 25th, it's been the same day, and they were at the concert, the really big one, on June 25th. I was down there in 1976. My brother, we raped, had a death.
Oh, I want to apologize. My internet went down, and I had to reboot it. I'm on the telephone right now. So, do you need to take a short break, Grandfather?
Okay. You can call me back.
Do you need to take a short break, and if you're done speaking, do you want to continue talking about things?
Well, this is good. This is okay. I can stop.
Yeah, but... Yeah, I'm having some technical problems, but I can play a little bit of music if you'd like to take a short break. How does that sound?
That sounds great. I will. I'll take a break then. All right. I'll see you.
Okay. I'm, folks, we're experiencing some problems, and so bear with us here. Gee whiz, yeah, I'm not even connected. My Skype went down. And Mark, can you take it for a minute and ask him some questions?
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead, would you?
Okay. I don't know if he's still with us, though. He's probably on his break.
I'm still listening.
Okay.
We're after some coffee.
Okay, hang on. Like I said, you know, Skype just quit on me all of a sudden, and I'm not...
Well, another thing interesting, you know how we find many of the people in the show have a connection back to your birth on 9-Eek?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, grandfather has a connection too. It's a little bit in the cycle. One of the cycles, his particular birth is sitting, and it will make a. If you took that cycle circle and you made it like an X through it, mm-hmm. with the 9-Eek in the center of the circle, then his birth would be on the upper right hand part of that X.
Is that right?
Cycle. So he has a connection with the 9-Eek. What even makes it more interesting is in between that and in between those two on the X is also some turtle quark energy too. But it's also suggesting a couple of things that I've seen looking at these cycles while we were talking. It seems that he has some peripheral energy also into the white buffalo, especially the first white buffalo born in Janesville, Wisconsin, Miracle, back on, August 20th, 1994, I believe.
I was there when I was. I mean, not there, but I joked about it before it happened. And I got back that summer to Sundance, and I told him I had a dream of a white buffalo cat being born there in Janesville. I was in Janesville taking my taxidermy course. I'm a certified taxidermist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's showing up here.
Yeah, I was probably the only Indian guy in Janesville when that happened.
Oh, yeah? Hmm. The other thing that's showing up here, not directly, well, one of the... You might, if you ever meet, and if you're down in Machu Picchu or somewhere in South America, wherever, Central America or something, you might meet the one of the Mayan elders, Don Alejandro.
Okay.
Your birth is in right before his. So his would in the sequence in the cycle, his would be on the very next click, very next day in the calendar. So that's possibly another interesting. So if you ever meet him, the way I would interpret this is that you guys are very close in the song of creation together in terms of what you're doing. Not exactly the same, but very close. You're like. In a song, it's like you're one note and he's the next note.
Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah. So that's coming up. And the other one that's coming up, and I'm not sure why, it's in a cycle, but I'm kind of looking at it and it's not real clear. But it has to do with down in Mexico, if you go to a place out just northeast of Mexico City called Tepeyac. And that is the place in 1531 where they had the Virgin of Guadalupe appear, the famous image that you see all over Mexico.
Yes.
There's something coming up about that, too, for you that might be... some kind of connection there, too, that might be worth exploring for you. And one of the things that particular image is connected to is the around the same area, not too far away, is Teotihuacan. And that has the Pyramid of the Sun, Pyramid of Quetzalcoatl, and the Pyramid of the Moon. And underneath the Pyramid of the Sun, there is a cave. And it's shaped like a four-petal flower. I think that might have some significance to you. In some of the Hopi, I haven't specifically had them state it, but I have reason to believe that in the Hopi emergence story, the one they call the Spider Woman is connected directly to that area down there at Teotihuacan, as well as that image of Guadalupe. And I remember a few years ago I was talking with a lady that was more connected to Lakota, and she had been to Janesville, Wisconsin, when Miracle the Buffalo was born. Her name was Stephanie Schwartz. She died back in the summer of 2009, I believe, in August 17th. But she, I was talking with her, and I mentioned, I said, you know, I think that there's a connection between this Virgin of Guadalupe image down in Mexico and the white buffalo calf woman. And Stephanie asked me, she said, well, what time in history, you know, what date did that image appear down there in Mexico? I said, well, it was on the winter solstice of the year 1531. And Stephanie thought about it for a second. She said, well, that would have been right around the same time as one of the various apparitions of the white buffalo calf woman. And there's been a lot of things that's happened since then that makes me feel that those two are connected. So I think for you, especially since you were there at Janesville and you had that connection white buffalo, this other connection that, remember, we were talking earlier in your birth reading about the south and moving south, the other connection to that white buffalo calf story is going to be found with the Virgin of Guadalupe in Mexico and the Pyramid of the Sun at Teotihuacan with that cave underneath it. I think that's maybe a worthwhile thing for you to maybe learn about and explore, or find out something about her if you get a chance to go there, maybe, even if you only go there in dream or spirit travel.
I do have a white buffalo robe.
What was that? I didn't hear.
I do. I had a white buffalo robe.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I got a white buffalo.
By the way, I'm back.
I did get a white buffalo robe. I used it. When I told the spirit man, he told me to bring back the White Buffalo Call Woman Society, and I told him I needed a white buffalo robe, and he said, when the time is right. Well, I went to go visit a friend of mine to pick up some teepees, and when I was there to get some teepees from him, he said, he was showing me a bunch of hides, horns, hoofs, and different things he had, and he said to me, he said, I even have a white buffalo robe. And I said, could I look at it? So he showed it to me, and he said it's really, really old. And he said, I haven't made it on my office wall for the last 6 years, and they're repainting my new model in my office, so I took it off, he said. And I looked at it for a while, and I told him I really needed one for the White Buffalo Call Woman Society. And he said, no, he said, it's really priceless. I can't sell it, you know. So anyway, I thanked him for showing it to me, and I left. About a week later, he called me up. And he said, Cedric, he said, we can make a deal for that white buffalo robe. So I drove back to go see him again, and I gave him what he wanted for the robe, and I got the robe, I brought it back. And in the year 2008, which was 6 years ago now, I initiated the white buffalo robe again, White Buffalo Call Women Society again, and I used that robe as part of the ceremony, and I gave that robe to those ladies of the White Buffalo Call Women Society. They do have one now, yeah.
Wow. Outstanding. I am back.
It's really good because he does show me these things. When he showed me about a stone that's never been touched, and I did it, and that stone, he said, they moved it because now, he said, people will know about it and they want to look for it, he said, but they're not going to find it, he said. So, okay. We did what we were supposed to do, yeah.
Outstanding. Well, you want to take a 3-minute break?
Okay, I'll take a 3-minute break. All right, we'll see you guys.
Okay, let's take a 3-minute break. And this is a friend of mine, was recorded 1972 by a friend of mine by the name of Frank Fields. He was a cast member of Up With People that I travel with. It's called In a Sacred Manner I Live, and we'll be back in about a little short of 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm. ground, on the dry ground. Sagebrush and mesquite and chaparral around. Out away's a big dust devil, moving on its way. I guess they're never still. In a sacred manner I live, to the heavens I gaze. In a sacred manner I live. My horses are many. The high grass and the cedar, the mighty oak and the tiny flower, the sandstone in the valley, the mountains high and the running streams. In a sacred manner I live, to the heavens I gaze. In a sacred manner I live. My horses are many.
Outstanding. And like I said, that was In a Sacred Manner I Live by my friend Frank Fields. And Grandfather Cedric, we've got your best friend, and Janet, and she had a question for you.
Oh, okay.
This is Janet Redfeather. Cedric is my ex-husband, best friend, and spiritual teacher. Kind of a rare branding there. Cedric, there's so many people now who are searching spiritually and trying to connect with their guides. What wisdom or positive advice do you have to offer them during that search?
Well, that's a very, an interesting question, because we are one with the spirit at all times. We don't really need what they call a middleman, an intercessor, or anybody in between, because we are always connected with the great spirit, always. And all we need to do is allow our spirit guides and give them permission to come to us. A lot of times they're just waiting for us to allow them to come and help us and work with us. And we fail to give them that permission, and they just wait for us. So if we give the spirit guides permission to work with us, they will come, yes.
Thanks. That's so helpful. Thank you so much. You sound good on the radio. Good night.
Okay.
Outstanding. And well, let's see, where are we going to go now? By the way, folks, if you would like to call in and ask Grandfather Cedric a question, number to call is 347-996-3318, or you can Skype in by connecting to Skype and then clicking on the little blue Skype symbol next to the telephone number on the browser that you're using to listen to the show. And let's see, Mark, did you have any other thoughts? Just chime in if you got anything to say. Okay, I'm not sure whether Mark's still with us or not, but what do you think, Grandfather Cedric, so far?
Well, I think a lot of the prophecies are really coming about ever since 2012, and it's beginning, and it's moving, but it's not moving like we would think it would, because they don't look the people in a sense of the shift and the changes of things. But the people of light and the people of the darkness, the gap is going to get much wider, and the people are going to start to see very clearly those who are of the light, of love and compassion. They will see that more, and it's going to cause them to realize that they really don't need all this other stuff. Like, you know, religion is good. Okay, I'm not ever against religion, but there's an old Indian saying. It says, religion is for those who are afraid of going to hell, and spirituality is for those who've already been there. So, in a sense, we are one with the spirit at all times, and we are like, I would call, we don't need anyone to guide us. We are our own guides, in a way. And we know in our hearts, because our intuitive heart is our true teacher, and you would know if my words are right or not. And people know that. The same as a dog or a cat, when you come upon them, they know if you're a good person or a bad person. Either they'll lick your hand or they'll bite you, you know. And people would know that because their own heart is always their teacher, always. And that's going to come into more and more. And those who are claiming to lead us, which I refer to as the fake teachers, there's an interesting story about me and my friend Dan Huntley. And Huntley works at a children's hospital, and I was at his house, and we were getting ready to go into the sweat lodge, and Huntley said to me, he said, look at this poster, Cedric, and he showed it to me, and the poster had this guy's name on there claiming he could cure cancer, heart disease, all kinds of diseases, he could cure them in the sweat lodge, and the fee was only $500, and he said, what are we going to do about people like this? And I told Huntley, I said, nothing. I said, leave them. I said, they'll always be there, always. I said, Huntley, I said, your purpose in life is to work with those children with respiratory problems. You go in the sweat, you pray for them. You go to the sundance and you dance for them. Let them live. I said, my purpose in life is to fulfill the prophecies. I said, those people who are going to give that man $500 and go on the sweat lodge, you must always remember that they're fake students. They need a fake teacher. The real students will always find the real teacher, always. Okay? Am I out there now?
So, do you have a lot of animals coming up to you, Grandfather?
I love animals. I don't keep any with me now. I live in an apartment building, so I don't have any animals. But, no, when I was growing up in the country, I love horses. I love horses.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they're just like, they have their own human nature. Then you'll see it out in the pasture, you know. There'll be a whole bunch of horses, but two of them will be standing along with chasing opposite directions, flagging it, swinging their tail to chase off the flies. These two horses are friends. And they always seem that way, you know. They're... And all the animals know, and they're connected. They just are. Now, I used to hunt a lot. And when I used to hunt, I used to always pray before I went hunting. And I used to thank the deer, you know, that he was going to feed the families and stuff. And but I really do love animals, all of them, because they are here for a purpose also, you know. They're not to be mistreated, or because, you know, this is karmic for a bad karmic in a way. If we mistreat them, if we mistreat medicine from them, you know, like the earth itself, you know, it has a language of its own. How people talk to animals is not with their voice, but with their heart. And you could be with somebody and just meet someone for the very first time, and you feel automatically connected to that individual. And you don't have to say nothing, but you know it. And it's your heart speaking, not, you know, it's a different language. I run into people like that quite often in my travels. And I have a good friend by the name of Mary John, and she works at the Attentive Rock Garden. And one time she said to me, her whole thing in life is to have no judgment. And I thought about that for a while, and there's so much truth in that, to have no judgment, to go through life. Oh. And I'll tell you about my book, Madman Dreams. I have many of my stories in that book, and you can get my book over at the Shakopee Trading Post. So just for those who are within Minneapolis or Minnesota, that's where you can get it. Also, I wanted to say was that about my teachers. My teachers were Sam Lillowell, Ralph Lillowell, Vernal Cross, and Roy Berger. They're all gone now. But yet they guide me. They're still with me. Our ancestors never leave us. My great-great grandparents are with me always. My dad, my mom are with me. And people ask me about it, and I said, they're in our DNA. They didn't go nowhere.
Oh, that's right. You know, yep. The ghost dance is really important to all of us. Let me play a little short Wes Studi portraying Movoka talking about the ghost dance. It's about a minute and 35 seconds, and we'll be back in a minute and 35 seconds.
All right.
A vision came to me when the sun went into shadow and I lay dying. And in my death, I saw the heavens of the white robes. Yes, it is as they describe it. But also there, my children, all the Indians that ever roamed this earth. All your beloved ancestors and mine, and those young ones who were taken by the white man's diseases. Do not grieve for them. They want you to know that they are happy. Yes. And you should not grieve for yourselves, because here is what the white robes did not tell you. The white man, my children, will soon be no more.
And let me add that that last part was probably about the white man not being anymore. That was more Sitting Bull's influence than it was Wovoka's. Wovoka's grandson and granddaughter were on the cast and crew of the movie Billy Jack, and there was a lot of misinformation that was going around, you know, back in 1890, you know, blaming Wovoka, you know, for the massacre at Wounded Knee, and a lot of it was just plain not true. Wovoka didn't teach that, but I did want you to hear that. And so you're going to be doing a ghost dance, grandfather.
It's a ghost dance, but we're not imitating Wovoka. We're not imitating any of the others. With the ghost dance, every tribe has their own dance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for example, if I were to say, people are going to have ballroom dancing, and they go there, and people will be doing the rumba, they'll be doing the tango, they'll be doing different stuff. Well, when somebody's doing a ghost dance, it's not exactly always the same. And neither it is with the sun dance. You go to sun dance, they're always going to be different, every one of them. And this ghost dance is very simple. We're just going to be dancing in a circle, connecting with the stars and with the earth, the people, and that's why we're doing it. Because the people and the star people, they want us to be connected with them. They're here to guide us. They're here to help us, not here to frighten us, or because they see the changes coming to mankind. And the love for mankind is, people don't realize how much unconditional love they have for us. And they're not to be they're not the big boogeyman, you know, that people want to portray. No, they are here. There's my grandmother, Catwoman. My grandmother Catwoman, she told us one time years ago when she told the people, and we had it written down, she said, "We are stars in human form."
That's right. That's right. And when I was talking with you last week about the ghost dance, listeners, you can go to originalghostdance.com, and you can see the Wovoka's version of the dance that Andy Vidovich, Wovoka's grandson, taught to the cast and crew of Billy Jack. And I showed that. I put that up on the internet back in 2008. When I showed that to my friend Robert Shrewsbury, who's a metallurgist and knows quite a bit about physics, and he said, "That's really interesting." He says, "That's a, I think it's what they call a left-hand spiral. The tail of the spiral starts, say, over on the left-hand side, and it goes clockwise until it winds around in the center." And he said, "But it moves counterclockwise when you." During the dance, and originalghostdance.com, you can see how it is. And he says, "Wow," he says, "that's really interesting." He said, if you did that dance on a small hill, and he says, and the center of the dance was at the top of, even if you're a foot taller, a foot higher in the center than you are on the outside, he says, any physics, anybody that knows anything about physics will tell you that that will send a burst of energy into outer space. So you really are, you know, connecting with the stars, literally, according to the laws of physics and science."
Right. That's why we're doing it in the evening. We're doing it when the sun goes down, and we'll be dancing. And then people get tired, I suppose. I don't know. 12, 1 o'clock, maybe something like that. All depends.
Yeah.
On so.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's really interesting. But let's see. I had... Mark, do you have any other thoughts on? Because I know you get thoughts every once in a while.
Well, as we were just talking about the spirals and all that, I'm kind of wondering, because a lot of these dances are involved in a circle and a spiral and such. And I know I was talking with one of the Hopi elders the other night, and I was talking about the magnetic anomalies on the Earth occurring, and the magnetic fields, and the possibility that our magnetic fields are going to reverse and drop. And after that, what happens? And so we're talking about that, and he mentioned that they believe that as one thing that could happen as we transition into what they call the fifth world next cycle, is the axis of the Earth will align and go back to a perfect 90-degree angle rather than having the 23.5-degree tilt. So that's one of the things they believe. Some of them also appear to believe that the movement will reverse too. So I was wondering, as you were talking about what Robert Shrewsbury III said about the spiral and the movement and the energy, which is part of creation, and the dance, how that the dances reflect it, the native dances. Well, does that mean that all the natives in the next world cycle are going to be dancing in the opposite direction instead of going counterclockwise? They'll go clockwise.
Well, the Cherokee and the Hopi and the Aztec all dance counterclockwise, and from what I've read in Cherokee teaching, that's the way you're supposed to dance, and literally, if you dance in the other direction, you're being adverse.
Right.
And now the Hopi say that the Earth is turning in a clockwise direction now, but like it indicates in the Bible, Ezekiel talked about the sun rising in the west and setting in the east.
Right.
Then the Hopi say that we'll go back to the original direction, and from what Robert told me, he said the way energy flows in and out of the Earth would reverse, bringing, instead of the surface of the Earth sucking energy downward, it would emit energy upward, and that might account for the change. Well, you know, prophecy talks about there won't be any more weeds growing, and we won't have to deal with a lot of issues that are just taken for granted nowadays. Been a lot easier living, and but yeah, can you imagine a world without weeds if you're, when you're trying to grow something? You know.
Well, maybe some of those weeds are the weeds in our own consciousness and awareness.
Exactly.
And our relationships with each other.
Exactly. I finally found that that audio from original Ghost Dance. It's just 2 minutes. Let me play it.
The time is now when the Indian will triumph.
He's still in the rapture of the vision. A great Indian holy man, Volker, is speaking through him.
You mean they had holy men like saints?
They sure did, and Volker was one of the greatest. Once even Christ appeared to him.
And the whole spiritual wisdom of the great holy men of the Indian tradition is now what the young people of the world are looking for.
I wonder if I have the guts.
This is crazy, man. You pull that trigger and we'll never get out of here alive.
The young whites, they know there is a supernatural world and a great spirit, and they try to reach the great spirit. They try by drugs. They are made to do this because their religions no longer believe in the other world. Heaven is not out there. The other world is here. The great spirit, Messiah, the Christ, are here in this pit. Your people, my loved ones, there's a thin veil separating us from them. The whites do not know how to reach through that veil. They do not have the belief, and they cannot touch their loved ones or the other spirits.
I could do it. I could kill
them. Yeah, sure you can, but not now, man. Let's get out of here and get some help.
And lastly, you must learn the dance. The dance of friendship and welcome, in which all whites who come to you with open hearts must be taught the dance in the Indian way. Rise up now, and I will teach you the dance exactly as Wovoka has seen it should be done.
Yeah, we'll be back, but not with help. I'm going to get him all by myself.
And, of course, if you're old enough, you saw that in the theater in 1975. But at that time, it was the biggest blockbuster of all time. And the business model or the formula that Tom Laughlin, who, by the way, just recently passed away, Tom Laughlin established the way that all blockbuster films are done. And every blockbuster that's ever come out since then has followed the Billy Jack model. But if you want to see the video along with the audio, you can go to originalghostdance.com. Oh, my gosh, I got a little tickle in my throat. Excuse me. Wow. Maybe I'm supposed to stop talking. Oh, yeah, I think I coughed that one out. Yeah, I've been having problems with allergies. But, well, if you're... let us know if you're getting, you know, if you're getting tired, grandfather, you know, we can go. Or if you, we don't want to stop you from talking, though, because we did want to give you a little break, though.
Okay. I'll share another, one more story with you. This has to do with me and my brothers, because it's, everybody on Fort Berthold up in North Dakota where I came from, everyone knows me and my brothers. They know my mom and dad, the older ones. And my mom and dad... My dad is Victor Manda, and his ancestor comes from Red Buffalo Cow, who signed a treaty in Fort Laramie for the Mandans. He was the last principal Mandan chief. And on my mother's side, she goes back to Shahaka, Big White, who traveled with Lewis and Park. And the prophet, Namakmaha, told the people, he said, if the time moves across the hand, he made a motion for 100 years. He said, your ceremonies, your songs, your society,
your way of life will be taken away from you, he said. And he said, but watch in the sky. He said, the seven brothers of the stars will return. He said, and he pointed to the Big Dipper. He said, these seven brothers will come back to the people. And he said, there'll be one more, and it's going to be the North Star, and she will be a girl. She'll be the last one born. And he said, when this happens, he said, the ceremonies, your societies, and your songs, and all these will come back to you, he said. And my mom and dad are both Luptade Mandans. The word Luptade, it means two voices. And two voices means talking in respect. Like, say you're sitting at the table and they'll say to the man, damn it, that's a goddamn salt. Or then you'll say to the woman, man, can you please pass the salt? You know, it's a sign of respect. You talk a man one way and you talk to a woman another way. That's how they got their name, Two Voices. Well, they were of the Two Voice clan, and my mom and dad, they were married in 1940 before Pearl Harbor. And the first son they had was Gordon. They had Gordon, then Gilson, then Tommy, then Orville, then Farrell, and then me, and then my brother Merlin. Earl was born in 49. My brother Merlin was born in 1950. In March of 1951, my dad went after groceries, and he went on horseback. We lived up in a cabin, a log cabin, and my dad ran horses and cattle. And he went down to Elbow Woods, which was 20-some miles away, to get groceries. And when he got to Elbow Woods, his relatives and friends told my dad to wait. They said, a storm is coming. Why don't you wait? And he said, no, he said. I have all those little boys back home in the cabin, he said. My dad rode back, and he got caught in the blizzard. And my dad died. They found his body a mile from the cabin. That summer in 1951, my mother gave birth to our only sister, Victoria. When Vicky was born, all the elders of the Mandans came to my mother and told her this prophecy. So this is what I'm doing now today, is fulfilling the rest of these prophecies. There are 14 prophecies, and we're going through them now. We'll be doing one in next month, and we'll be doing one in August. We'll be doing one next year, and we've still a few more to go, and we will complete these prophecies for the people. It's not only the Mandans, it's for many people to bring this consciousness of love, compassion, one heart, one mind, to bring it back to all people. That's what I'm doing, yes.
Oh, well, we sure want to extend the invitation for you to come back on this program anytime. Issue, you know, for whatever reason, we're here, you know, for you. And want to thank you very much for being our guest. And unless anybody has anything to add, we'll go ahead and roll the outro music.
Okay. Well, thank you. I really enjoyed this, and I wish you both well. And it was great. I enjoyed it. Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much, Grandfather. And folks, thank you for listening. And we'll be with you. I see our next new interview is on the 30th. And we'll be seeing you then. Good night now.
Let the truth be known.
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius.
Wisdom.
Thank you.